right. As I was studying this week, I thought the way that America is, the world, not just America, but the world's in a mess. Y'all know that? It is in a mess. And seems like every time you turn around, we're in a valley. I mean, it really does. And it seems like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. How many know what I'm talking about tonight? It seems like every time you turn around, something gets you down. And, I mean, whether it's, y'all see the prayer list, it grows and grows and grows. And that burdens my heart to see it continue to grow. And, you know, we can't take them off because we need to pray for them. And, you know, for those that are hurting tonight, they're in a valley. For those that are in bereavement, they maybe have lost a family member or a death somewhere in their family. They're hurting tonight. You've got loved ones that's, you know, that's out of the will of God. And you need to pray for them. Been praying for them, and it's going to weigh you down. How many know what I'm talking about tonight? So I look tonight in Joshua chapter 14, and I seen something here. I was just reading, and man, when you get to reading, me and Lonnie was talking today, and you know, sometimes you read Acts, you can read it 15 times to get 15 different things out of it. That's amazing, isn't it? But, and I've preached out of Joshua, I've read Joshua, and you know, there's something here tonight I hope is going to help us. Because I don't know about you, but I'm tired of struggling and being in the valley. I'm tired of struggling. Every time you turn around, it seems like there's something knocking you backwards. You take three steps forward and you take four backwards. How many know what I'm talking about? And I read this and I said, Lord, give me something that will help our people tonight. And I titled the message, Give Me This Mountain. And let's look at Joshua chapter 14, starting with verse 6. And the Bible says, Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Kazanite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old. Now, you know, 40 years old, when I was 10, 12, 13, I thought, man, when you get 40, that's old. Well, I don't think about that no more. I looked back and said, no, it wasn't really that old. You know?
You really feel old when it gets to be 40 on both sides.
There you go. That's right. That's when you need God to stand in the gap to pull them two 40s together. But he was 40 years old. Watch this now in verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, and it was in mine heart. Now watch. Nevertheless, my brethren, they went up with me, made the heart of the people melt, brought bad news. How many's tired of bad news? I want some good news, amen? Now watch this closely. This is what got me interested. First of all, Joshua said, I went up and I saw Canaan, the promised land. And I saw all what lied out there, but the men that was with me, when I come back down the mountain, I was going to tell everybody of all the fruit and the water and the green grass and, you know, all of these things. But the men that was with him come down and said, you ought to see them big old giants over there. They called Anaks. They big old people. You don't want to go fight none of them. I don't want that. Somebody else can have that. Let's just wander on around in the wilderness, so to speak. I mean, you know, that's basically, instead of saying it's a land of promise, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, It's a land that's got all kind of grapes hanging there, big as basketballs. I mean, it's got all kind of fruit trees that you can eat. They brought bad news. Ain't that where we are today? Somebody's always trying to bring bad news. Now watch. It said they melted the heart of the people, but I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Now watch. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Boy. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now watch. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. You see that? They didn't know that the promised land was just a few steps away because somebody brought them some bad news. How many know tonight good news could be three or four steps ahead if you would just be willing to take those steps ahead instead of looking behind you and looking at all the troubles and trials that you've been through? God, give me this mountain tonight. I'm willing to climb. Amen. Watch this now. While the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85 years old now. All right? So now he's 85. Look at verse 11. As yet I am as strong this day. Now watch. As I was in the day that Moses sent me. He's 85 now at 40 years old. He was just as strong at 85 as he was at 40. Is that what y'all seeing? Watch now. As strength was given to me, so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Here's the title of my message. Here's what the Lord showed me. Now, give me this mountain. Ain't that something? Don't matter what other people say. Don't matter what other people do. The devil's going to try to get you in a valley and going to try to keep you there. But I'm saying to the devil, I'm just saying, get thee hence behind me. And Lord, give me this mountain and give me strength to climb it. Lord, I don't want to go around it. I don't want to go under it. I want to go up the mountain with your help, just like Joshua did. It says, now, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hast heard in the day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced, trying their best to keep good out. How many know that every time we look back, we put a picket in our fence? Now, I want you to listen to me right here. This ain't got nothing to do with a message. I ain't gonna charge you a dime for it. But fences, when you put a fence up, that is a divider. Is that not right? Some to keep the dogs in. Some to divide because you got a bad neighbor. That's the way people do. They put up privacy fences, you know, to divide things. And every time that we get down and out, the devil puts a picket in our fence and keeps us separated from the love of God. And I say to you today, God, give me this mountain. I can go over the fence, over the pickets the devil has put in front of me. I'm going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let him get me down. God has a mountain for you and me to get to the top. Listen, it's going to take two things: determination and faith. Those two things will get you to the top of that mountain. The path, listen, is not always cleared out. You know, I think the right-of-ways. You know how the power company goes through and clears out the undergrowth and all of that. Well, that's all well, fine, and good. But they clear out 15 foot on either side of the power line, all right? So it's a 30-foot right-of-way. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? Well, they're forgetting that there's a 45-foot tree that they missed that will fall down and hit that line. Huh? Am I right or wrong? How many know when you think you're in the clear, the devil's going to cut down a 45-foot tree and stumble you up and get you back behind the fence again? He works all the time. And it's up to us tonight, and I've got three or four things I'm going to give you that's going to help us tonight get to the top of that mountain. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? First thing, and this ain't number one, I just want to get this out. In order to climb the mountain, you first got to be born again.
Amen.
You got to be born again. You see, I read twice in just from verse 6 to verse 12 where Joshua said, my God, did he not? Moses said, my God, did he not? You see, that shows ownership. I wonder tonight how many of us can say, he's my God. He owns me. I am part of his family. He's mine and I'm his. And that gives me strength to start climbing the mountain. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you won't start to climbing the mountain. You're going to stay down in the valley. Amen? Number one, I want to look at the first thing. I want to look at the outset. You say, preacher, what in the world's the outset? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 33. The Bible says this, verse that everybody should be able to quote that verse. It says, but seek ye second.
First.
Huh?
First.
Oh, does it say first? Well, why don't we ever put God first like we ought to?
Amen.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now watch. It don't stop right there. The big word is A-N-D. Y'all know what that word is? It joins two things, correct? It's a conjunction, right? It joins God and righteousness. You see, every time we start to climb the mountain, the outset is we've got to get on the outside of that fence, and the outset starts with God and His righteousness.
Amen.
It don't start with you and I. It don't start, there's no I in us. Nowhere. But a lot of times we think that, hey, I got myself into this, I can get myself out. Can I say something to you? I believe I could dare say that everybody in this place tonight, somewhere along in your life, you've been in trouble. Nobody might not have known it because you got yourself in it and you tried to get yourself out of it. Some way or another. But you realize, folks, if you're going to ever climb the mountain, you got to have an outset, and that outset is God and His righteousness, not yours and my righteousness. Self-righteousness is no good. But God's righteousness, it says, in all of these things. What is these things? How many know that if you put God first and His righteousness, these things equal blessings, they equal grace, they equal mercy, they equal salvation. I could go on and on and on what these things shall be added unto you. Look at the next verse. Verse 34. Now watch this. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow. There you go. It messed my mind up there. Thought for these things of itself sufficient unto that day is what?
Evil.
Evil. Me. How many know there's nothing good about me? I'm dirt, and so are you. Oh, preacher, you can't call me dirt. Yes, that's where we was made from. And how many know that the day you die, your body starts decaying and you're going back to dirt? Job said it many times. Three times in the book of Job, he said that his body, he was born out of ashes and going back to ashes. There's nothing we can do about it. So what makes us think we're good? You got to look at the outset. God must come first in everything you do. Many, listen to me. I'm fixing to make a statement right here that's going to shock you. Many Christians start a good race but never finish it. Do you realize that? They give up on God. They give up on the church. They give up on the people of God. They give up on the pastors. How many know I'm just one man? I can't do it all. I need some help. I try my best to work a full-time job and pastor. I try my best. And it's all I can do to keep going. If I don't knock on your door every day, forgive me. Amen. I'll go ahead and tell you that. If y'all want me to do knock on your door every day, pay me enough money so I don't have to work and I can do it every day. Amen. That's good preaching right there. That's right. That's right. But people get mad because they don't. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But long as we're putting God first in everything we do, why in the world are we faulting somebody when the only thing is we fault ourselves? Move us out of the way. Let God be first. Many lose the race before they start it. Now, I'm fixing to make another statement here. If you're writing this, you need to write this statement down. Many depend on a change of mind rather than a change of heart. I used to hear, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. That's a whole one there. Many depend on a change of mind rather than a change of heart. And you know there's many people sitting in churches today that got saved on feelings instead of drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Many people. And just because your husband came down, don't make it right for you to come down. Just because grandpa is going to heaven, don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you live a good life, don't make you going to heaven. What makes you go to heaven is not a change of mind, but a change of heart. And that's when the blood has been applied to your heart. That will change your heart. That's the outset. Just think, I'm just getting started. Base everything. A lot of people base everything on feelings rather than God's promises. Write that one down. People base their feelings on something other than God's promises. How many know tonight that you can stand on God's promises? It don't matter what you do. The Bible says he told Peter. You know, Peter translated as little rock, right? Everybody should know that by now. Because Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? So if we're standing on God's promises instead of having our feelings hanging out on our shoulder all the time, you know, if Christians would ever grab a hold of this thought, I need God's promises rather than my feelings. There'd be a lot more happy Christians in the church. They wouldn't be mad at the preacher when he wears his cowboy boots and steps on your toes. It's the Word of God. If the Word of God makes you mad, this altar is where you need to be. Not what the preacher says, it's the Word of God. And if you got Scripture, bless God, you can't argue with Scripture. Amen? So number one, the outset. Number two, the outlook. The outlook. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now watch this. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are what?
True.
Whatsoever things are?
Honest.
Whatsoever things are?
Yes.
Whatsoever things are?
Pure.
Whatsoever things are?
Lovely.
Whatsoever things are?
Good.
If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise,
think
on these things. What are we thinking on? Purity, honesty, love, good works, all of the things that God said. That should be our outlook. Keep your eyes focused on God instead of man. Amen? Remember, I told you last Wednesday night about the glass of water and Sunday morning? If we would just concentrate on one thing, and that's keeping our eyes on God, we'd be a whole lot better off tonight. Quit worrying about everybody else. It don't matter what people wear. It don't matter what people think. It's what I know. You say, well, what do you know, preacher? I'm saved and going to heaven because the Bible tells me so. I know that. That's about all I do know. Amen. Well, I do know Jesus loves me. This I know for the what? See, I do know Jesus loves me. But keep your eyes on the Lord. Not only keep your eyes on the Lord, but keep your eyes where you're heading. I go to walking down a small path because I'm in this valley. And there's a root sticking up. Guess what? If I ain't looking where I'm going, I'm going to trip over it and fall, right? Well, it's the same thing trying to walk my Christian walk. We all, at some time or another, have been in a valley. Might be in one now. You know, only God knows that, and you know that. Within your heart, we can put on a smile outwardly, but inside is tore up because we're hurting about our family members or our friends or something like that going on in our lives. We're just in an uproar on the inside. But I tell you, church, if you're going to take the mountain, look where you're going and keep your eyes on the Lord, and He's going to get you through this. He's going to get you through this. God's got this. Don't look at other methods. I said this Sunday, and I'm going to repeat it. It's not in the bottom of a bottle. It's not in a pill bottle. It's not the end of a roach. But it's on Calvary. That's what we need to keep our eyes on. Amen? So the outset, the outlook, number three. The outreach. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray for you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That word reconciled means brought back or bring to. Reconciled. Reach out to others. You say, how do you reach out to others, preacher? Just give them your testimony. Go knocking on doors with us. You know, last Thursday we went on visitation. We went to Donna and Roger's house and we had a big time there. And just, I sort of give them some scripture, and she told me Sunday after church, she said, preacher, I've never had nobody explain the Bible like you do. Never. When I led her to the Lord. When we was in their home, I figured they were saved. Had no idea because we can't see that. But just because we give them scripture, we give them the Word of God, and we told them that, you know, God is the God in heaven. We told them that what the Bible has to say, she come down Sunday and got saved. That's an outreach, amen? That's reaching out. I think visitation's this Thursday, if I ain't mistaken. I ain't got my bulletin. This coming Thursday, tomorrow. I'm thinking today's Sunday. I don't want to start this week over again. I'm ready to get up on the mountaintop. This valley's rough, amen. But reaching out to others. How many know, I want you to listen to me. Sign language, y'all know, I know my alphabet in sign language. That's all I know. I can put a word together, but it'd take me 30 minutes to get a word out. But what is the purpose in sign language? There's no sound, right? Because the person is deaf, correct? Does that word carry further than one person? Because we don't know what they're saying. I mean, you know how they fast they do it. I don't have a clue. Well, I got something to tell you. An outreach is reaching out to others witnessing. But there's nothing in the world, listen, a proven fact that nothing in the world carries further than the human voice. Ain't that something? When's the last time you reached out to somebody with your voice and say, Jesus loves you? When's the last time you had a chance to witness for the Lord and you let it slip by? Folks, I'm here to tell you, we've got to climb this mountain. If we're going to climb it, we got to start reaching out to others. We got to start learning how to reach out. Last one, the outset, the outlook, the outreach, and then number four, the outcome. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Very good verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. The outcome, number one, you're going to be blessed. You start climbing that mountain and helping other people climb it with you, you're going to be blessed. Not only will we be blessed, but we just saw in this scripture is we will be rewarded. Bible says we'll receive a crown of righteousness. I've said this before. I hope when I get to heaven, they have to hire Blue Max. Big old dump truck to haul all my crowns around so I can dump them at the feet of Jesus and say, I'm not worthy, you are. Because he is the one worthy, not me. Our job is to get the rewards and then give them back. Amen? That's the outcome. Being blessed, reward. And then last thing I'd like to say tonight is on the outcome of climbing the mountain. Listen, you're going to reach the top. Isn't it good when you reach the top? Boy, ain't nothing like it, is it? You can stand up there and look. I just come through that. Makes you thankful that God helped you through. Amen? Amen. Lord, give me the strength to climb this mountain. You might be hurting here for some reason tonight. I don't know why the Lord wanted me to preach this, but I don't question God. I just preach. Amen? Amen. Give me this mountain. Stand up and say, Lord, give me strength to climb it. The outset, the outlook, the outreach, and the outcome. We're going to reach the top one of these days. If I don't reach it down here, bless God, I know one of these days I'm going to be on top. Amen. It's called a place called heaven. There ain't going to be but one above me then. That's Jesus Christ. I'm on his throne. Thank God I'm going to reach heaven one of these days. All hearts clear. Let's all stand to our feet.